Good evening and welcome to Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Kay Nash. Later on Building Bridges, we hear Martin Sheen, Susan Sarandon, and Tim Robbins from the giant anti-war demonstration in Central Park, not in our name, on Sunday.
And Ken, what are we going to hear next?
Well, Mimi, at the anti-war rally yesterday, there was one congressperson, and that was Cynthia McKinney. Cynthia McKinney was also at the Green Party event fundraiser last Friday at the Ethical Culture Society, along with Ralph Nader and Stanley Aronowitz. And what we have now is a piece, her speech at the Ethical Culture Society at the Green Party fundraiser this past Friday, talking against the war in Iraq.
And now let's go to Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney.
Thank you. First of all, let me say thank you to the Green Party members who have given me such strong spiritual support over the years. Some of them even ventured as far as Stone Mountain, Georgia, to come and help me campaign. Thank you very, very much. My respect for the Greens and for your leader, Ralph Nader, is unbounded. You represent the best hope for our country. You are our present and you are our future. I remember watching Seattle and celebrating the return of activism to our country. And from Seattle to New York to Washington, D.C., young people rising up and taking it also to the suites, to the White House, and to the Congress. For the past 2 days, the House International Relations Committee has been marking up the Iraq War Resolution. Next week, that legislation will be debated on the House floor. And I am told that as I was on my way here, President Bush announced that on Monday night he will make an address to the American people. Monday night, Bush will speak to us. Tuesday and Wednesday, the House of Representatives and the United States Senate will speak to each other and will speak to the American people. And then a vote, a critical vote, will be cast. A vote to authorize our country to go to war. Well, let me tell you that I will be voting no. But more, and just as important as that, I hope that the gallery will be full of young people who will say no to more war. Now, let's just look at the record. When George W. had a chance to go to war, he went AWOL. And when America called Richard Pearl and Paul Wolfowitz, they didn't return the call. And yet, the young people who are in this audience tonight are the ones that they want to go to war. They want to send you to war. Now, shortly after Dick Cheney became vice president, Brown and Root a subsidiary of Halliburton, was granted a 10-year open amount contract for overseas Army troop support. Yet one of the first acts that our president did after declaring the war on terrorism was to cut the overtime pay of our men and women fighting on the front lines of the war. So let's get this straight. Halliburton gets however much it wants to fight the war, and yet the young men and women who will be fighting the war, and sadly some of them will be dying in this war, will not get their promised overtime pay. How in the world can this administration deny to the families who will be burdened by the high deployment rates now the pay that was promised to them? And since sole source contracting for Halliburton is the rule, I thought I would ask a few questions. A few questions about some other sole source contracts. And for instance, these are the questions that I think you should ask. And the American people need to take responsibility and have a responsibility to ask certain questions about the financial relationships that swirl around the president and this White House. For example, we now know that Enron was doing more than just playing tiddlywinks when they went over to the White House and talked to the administration. If our energy policy can have such a foundation, then what about our military policy? Conflict of interest. For our president to request the largest defense increase in a generation while his father has connections to one of the largest defense. And let me get this right. Osama bin Laden is a terrorist. He's our enemy. Why is Bush's daddy having deals with the bin Laden family? Now, at the same time that George Bush is proposing $48.1 billion increase, that's just the increase, in our defense spending, at the same time he's denying high deployment overtime pay for our troops, and he's cutting library money, he's cutting boys and girls clubs for children in public housing. He's cutting research dollars for more fuel efficient cars and trucks. He requested $500 million so that the Carlyle Group could continue to develop the Crusader missile. And then made Secretary of the Army White become the fall guy when some of us pointed out that this was an inappropriate request for an inappropriate weapon system, for an inappropriate mission. Well, there's a whole lot of investigations that need to be going on. Bush Daddy proclaimed it the New World Order. And I think that George W. is still trying to figure out what that means. What it means, in short, is more for the few and less for everybody else. And that's why you are so important because you care about the everybody else. And that's why I was moved when I saw the folks in Seattle and again in New York and then again in Washington, D.C. and then just the other day in Washington, D.C. And then on Wednesday, five brave young women went into the House International Relations Committee all alone. And they challenged Henry Hyde and Tom Lantos and their whole crew of them. And they tore off their shirts. And they said, no more war. Well, you know what happened? Henry Hyde kicked him out. So I said, Mr. Chairman, why you kick him out? He says they were disturbing the peace. So I said, Mr. Chairman, they weren't disturbing me. And so then there was this one woman, and she began to applaud. She applauded their actions. She applauded my questions. She was applauding. And Henry Hyde then instructed the police officers to carry her out. I said, Mr. Chairman, is freedom of speech prohibited in the House of Representatives? There was a time when people around the world looked up to America. They looked up to us, not because of our military might, but because of our commitment to principles, our commitment to democracy, our commitment to human rights. And what now does our country stand for? We must take back Washington. It's time for a regime change. You're absolutely right. So I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be here because I think that there is something very important about that magic number 5. 5%. We must have in all of the 50 states the ability for people to vote their conscience. And sometimes that means more than just a two-party system. Thank you very much.
And you were listening to Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney of Georgia. And it's good that she's a congresswoman now and will participate on the vote in the Congress and what we hope will be at least a breaking with the administration and a vote against the resolution being proposed by George Bush. And this is Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. And Ken and I had a wonderful opportunity yesterday, and it really was exuberant, the feeling that poured out from the tens of thousands of people who gathered in Central Park for a rally.
That space, it was wonderful. It really was.
And the theme, of course, was Not in Our Name, and it was put on by the Not in Our Name Project, and one of the slogans that I remember that I particularly got a kick out of was drop Bush, not bombs. And it was a very important beginning display in this country of the sentiment to prevent this juggernaut from reaching conclusion by invasion and catastrophic incursions against the people of Iraq and against the world and our own country as well. And we're going to hear some sound from that rally, right, Ken?
It was a real surprise because without any real build-up to it, they just announced that Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins were there, and there was some music, and then there they were, and then later on Martin Sheen talked. This is the beginnings of people starting to come out against this war. We are way behind our comrades in Europe, but things are beginning to move, and there were dozens and dozens of speakers, and we need more and more. There were very few politicians, and we need more on board. So without any further ado, let's hear from Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins, and then Martin Sheen.
Imagine there's no countries. It isn't very hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for.
This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report with a special. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Imagine all the people living life.
Well, Mimi, the paper, the New York Times, did it again.
What do they do?
They're constantly diminishing the protest movement against the war on Iraq. In the coverage of this Sunday's peace rally in New York City's Central Park, for instance, their headline said, thousands marched. Well, even the police estimate put the number at 20,000 who rallied at the demonstration, sponsored by the Not In Our Name coalition.
Ken, you and I were at the rally, and we know it was one of the biggest peace demonstrations against the war so far in the U.S., and the Times buried it in the Metro section. And you know something else? Sunday's Times had a long article about how celebrities have little to say about the war on Iraq. Well, I went to a massive event at Cooper Union just last week in which Ed Asner, Danny Glover, Academy Award winner Marissa Tomei, and famed playwright Tony Kushner performed in an event against the war. So, Ken, where do you think the New York Times was when it came to that event?
And at the Central Park Peace Rally, Susan Sarandon, Tim Robbins, and Martin Sheen, you know, the TV president, spoke out against the war. So let's hear them now.
I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one.
I am so very happy to be here. I have been feeling so isolated, so lonely, so convinced by the mainstream media that I'm out of my mind to be worried about this path that we are taking towards this war. I have been taken out of context in every newspaper that has bothered to print anything. We have been threatened. And all along, Bush from the very beginning said, you are either with us or against us. I don't know who the us is, but I say to Mr. Bush, this is what democracy looks like. This is what an intelligent citizenship does. We question. We demand to know answers. We will not give our daughters and sons to a war for oil. Look around you and see how many people are here today, because I guarantee you it will not be represented this way when you read about it in the morning. We here can imagine what war will do to human beings whose faces we will never see, whose names we will never know, whose numbers we will never know, all killed preemptively in our name. If preemption is now justified as defensive, if a war against a potential threat is defensive, then so was Pearl Harbor. We must invest in alternative technologies. This is a crime against the peace according to international law. And after this war, there will be no longer any international law, only the rule of the stronger. And do we, the people, really want to be a new Rome that imposes its rule by the use of overwhelming force whenever its interests are threatened, even perceived potential threats? We do not want endless warfare. There are people still functioning in the government who are asking questions, and we must support them. At the top of the list is Robert Byrd from West Virginia. We have to get out there and support him in his filibuster. Organize. Make phone calls. Call your family. Call your friends. Make trouble. Thank you so much for coming out.
Like most New Yorkers, I was incredibly angry after September 11th. I understood the anger of the victim and the victim's families. I did a movie called Dead Man Walking. And I think the reason that that film led to a dialogue on the death penalty is that it didn't delegitimize the anger of the victims. Although I would hope to not allow revenge in my heart, I recognize the legitimacy of this human emotion. So when our government went after Al-Qaeda, I had a problem with the method, but understood the motivation. For the first time in my adult life, my country was involved in military action that was reactive, and I sat silent. I do not like fundamentalism of any kind. Any movement that connects violence to God loses me. Whether it's the murder of a doctor at an abortion clinic, or the murder of busboys, firemen, or businessmen at the World Trade Center. Radical fundamentalism at its core hates all the things I love. Let us find a way to resist fundamentalism of all kinds that leads to violence. What is our fundamentalism? Cloaked in patriotism and our doctrine of spreading democracy throughout the world, our fundamentalism is business. The unfettered spread of our economic interests throughout the world. Our resistance to this war should be our resistance to profit at the cost of human life. Because these drums beating over Iraq are all about. This is about business. The business of distracting American attention from Enron and Halliburton, the financial scandals that connect this administration to the heart of what is now wrong with the American economy. These financial and corporate scandals that have disappeared from the front pages of our newspapers as we argue about this war. In the name of fear and fighting terror, we are giving the reins of power to oil men looking for a distraction from their disastrous economic performance. Oil men more interested in a financial bottom line than a moral bottom line. Oil men ready to expand their influence with new contracts on the soil our bombers have plowed. New contracts forged with governments that do not allow democracy on their soil for fear of losing control over the oil that governs their lives. That governs our lives. The majority in America knows this. A dormant majority in America waits with anticipation for the politician that will stand in front of the American people in defiance of the oil companies and advocate alternative energy as a way to extricate ourselves from this culture of violence that threatens our future. Let us resist this war and our new oil war in Colombia. But let us also resist fundamentalism in all its guises. Let us hate war in all its forms, whether its weapon is a missile or its weapon is a domestic airplane. Thank you.
Everybody, please put your hands together for Martin Sheen. Thanks so much. It's great to see a public debate on such a critical issue. I'm going to go back to the 60s and a phrase that you're all familiar with. I have a dream today where the heart is without fear and the head is held high, where knowledge is free, where the world has not been broken up into fragments by narrow domestic walls, where words come out from the depths of truth, where tireless striving stretches its arms towards perfection, where the clear stream of reason has not lost its way into the dreary desert sands of dead habit, where the mind is led forward by thee into ever-widening thought and action. Into that heaven of freedom, my Father, let my country awake. Thank you.
You've been listening to Tim Robbins, Susan Sarandon, and Martin Sheen at the anti-war rally in New York City's Central Park, sponsored by the Not In Our Name Project. You can find out more about that organization by going to their website, www.notinourname.net. That's www.notinourname.net. This has been a Building Bridges, your community and labor report special.
Imagine there's no countries. It isn't very hard to do.